Good Lord's Day to you all. It's good to see you. It's good to be here. It's good to encourage one another and worship to our Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I'd like to consider with you the subject of faith is the victory, as we find in 1 John chapter 5 and the first four verses. You might, as you consider that, and say, well, how is faith the victory? I'd like to explore that with you this morning. First of all, we have to know the will of God. We need to know what the faith is. We know that faith, the faith, comes by hearing the Word of God. So we have to hear, we have to read, we have to know what God has said. And when we know what God has said, we know what His will is for us. And that's what's being discussed here in 1 John chapter 5, at least one aspect of His will for us. The first four verses says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. You remember that Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And when Nicodemus says, how can you do that? How can you go back into your mother's womb and be born? And Jesus explained, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Not talking about a physical rebirth, but a spiritual rebirth. Being born of the Spirit means to be born of the seed of the Word of God that we receive through the operation of the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given by the inspiration, is breathed of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, the faith consists of the Word of God. We must hear it. We must know it. We must believe it. We must believe that it is the truth. And having believed that it is the truth, we must, of course, practice it. Explore that with you this morning. You'll notice here that verse 1 begins and says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So if somebody says, well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, are they born of God? No, that there's the comprehensive sense of the word belief here. If I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then I will do what the Son of God tells me to do. And so, everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. Jesus teaches us to love our neighbor. He teaches us to love our enemy. We certainly are to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And that's the particular subject that John is speaking about here in 1 John chapter 5. Encouraging the brethren to love each other. And if they fail to do that, he says, you're not a child of God. You're not truly believing what God teaches us to do. You're not trusting Him. You're not acting as He would have you to act. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot, everybody who loves God who begot us, loves also those who are begotten of Him. You love your brothers and sisters in Christ. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. And so faith is the victory when we know what God wants us to do and we do what God wants us to do. We believe and we keep His commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are for our own good. His commandments will lead us in the paths of righteousness. His commandments are the way of truth and light. Whatever is born of God, born of the Word of God, believes the Word of God, trusts the Word of God, obeys the Word of God, overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. And yet we realize that, yes, it's our faith when we acknowledge that God's Word is true, and that's what I'm going to walk in, that's what I'm going to practice, but we realize that the source of that faith is not from within us, it is from God. And so, faith is the victory by knowing God's will, and as we said, by doing God's will. James says it this way in James 1 and verse 22, be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So you might hear that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You might hear that we are to worship God. You might hear that we are to remember Him in the Lord's Supper as we just did every first day of the week. You might know that. You might have heard that. You might know it. Do you practice it? Are you doing His Word, or are you hearers only? Now, that applies to worship, but it applies to everything that God teaches us. God teaches us to love one another. And you might say, I believe that we should do that. I heard a political candidate this week say, there is no vaccine for racism. Is that true? There is a vaccine for racism. It's the Word of God. It teaches us to love one another. You can't be a racist and be a Christian. You can't be a racist and be a follower of Christ. Be doers of the Word. Love your wife, love your husband, love your children. Children, respect, obey, and love your parents. Employers, treat your employees in an honorable way, and employees, do the same towards your employers. Be doers of the Word. And not hearers only. For if we know what God wants us to do and we fail to do it, we deceive ourselves into thinking that somehow we're all right in the eyes of God. Faith is the victory when we know God's will for us and we do it. The faith that comes by hearing the Word of God, overcomes supposition. John 17 and verse 17, Jesus prayed to His Father, Father, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. We live in a generation that prides itself on redefining words. You're going to hear more and more about that in the days to come. But it was started to be practiced even in the days of Jesus. You know, Pilate said to Jesus, well, what is truth? As if, who knows what truth is? What you've got your truth, I've got my truth, everybody's got their own truth. Is there an objective standard of truth? God's Word is truth. Jesus told those who believed on Him to abide in His Word, and they would know the truth. The truth is found in the Word of God. And it's the truth that we learn from the Word of God that sets us free. Free from our sin, free from ourselves, free from death, separation from God, and actually unites us with God and brings us in fellowship with Him. The faith overcomes supposition. God said it, that settles it. I need to believe it and practice it. The faith overcomes sin and death. We come back to James. In James chapter 1 and verses 14 through 22, it says, "Let each of you, each one who is tempted, is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is full grown, it brings forth death." You see the process here? We're led away by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, desire to do what God commands us not to do, or the desire not to do what God wants us to do. Both are sin, but our desire is in conflict with His will. Desire gives birth to sin, and sin brings forth death, separation from God. "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and your desire to even be involved in those things. And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So you see how that works. Faith overcomes. The faith overcomes sin and death. Because we have a desire to sin, to transgress the Word of God, but the faith, the Word of God, calls us back to and reminds us of the will of God. He brought us forth by the Word of truth. He begot us by the seed of His Word of truth. So then, be swift to hear this Word of God. And receive with meekness this implanted word, which is able to save your souls. How important is this book? It's able to save your souls. It was given to us from God for that very purpose. Be doers of His word. The faith overcomes suffering. Many are suffering in this day, in this time. Suffering for various different reasons. And I'm reminded of Romans chapter 8 and verses 16 through 18, where it says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness before Almighty God that we are a child of God, because the Holy Spirit was charged with giving us the will of God, teaching us the Word of God by which we are saved, and when we practice that, we are indeed saved." And so the Holy Spirit says to God, "This individual heard your word, trusted it, obeying it, is obeying it, therefore they are one of your children. A rightful heir to the joys of heaven. And our spirit, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Our spirit says, well, the Holy Spirit has revealed what we need to do to be saved. I've read it. I believe it. I trust it. I obey it. I'm practicing it. Therefore, I'm a child of God. It's only when we find ourselves in conflict with what God says that our inheritance is in jeopardy. And we know it. We know it. God knows it. The Holy Spirit knows it. And so if your life is in conflict with what God's Word teaches, you need to get your life right. And get your soul right. And have the Holy Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. If children, then you're heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. You see the suffering and the victory at the same time? Faith overcomes suffering. If we suffer with Him, we will also be glorified together with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. The faith overcomes all forms of trouble. Paul is an example of this. You remember, Paul had a thorn in the flesh for which he besought the Lord that it might be removed from him. Three times he prayed that it might be removed from him. And finally, God answered, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." You know, God could have just put a period right at the end of "you" there. "My grace is sufficient for you. Look, I've saved you." Isn't that enough? But God, in His grace, also went on to explain what was going on. He explained to Paul that although he was suffering, although he had this thorn in the flesh, that this thorn in the flesh was not hindering him from letting the glory of God be seen in his life. It was actually promoting it. Because Paul continued to be faithful in spite of the thorn in the flesh. In spite of whatever physically was hindering him, he was continuing to keep the faith and thereby overcome and be an example to others who were suffering. And Paul then reflected, said, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities." Rather than being overly concerned about my infirmities, rather than focusing upon my trouble and how it's holding me back, I'm going to overcome that trouble to the glory of God, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. In other words, that the power of Christ will be evident within me. That in spite of this thorn in the flesh, it's not holding me back from glorifying God. It's not keeping me from having an optimistic output. It's not keeping me from inviting others to follow Christ. It's not keeping me from fighting my desires. In fact, it is reaffirming my resolve to actually change what I desire. Instead of desiring the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, I desire the righteousness of God to glorify God. Therefore, Paul drew from this example in his life and what he had learned. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Thorn in the flesh was an infirmity. But beyond that, I take pleasure in reproaches. Had Paul ever been reproached for living the life of a Christian, for proclaiming the gospel of Christ? Hell yeah, a lot. I take pleasure in needs. Had he ever been in need? Yep. He had talked in Philippians. I've been in want and I've been in plenty, and I've learned how to glorify God in both. I take pleasure in persecutions. Had Paul ever been persecuted? He'd been stoned. He'd suffered even at the hands of his own brethren, he said. I take pleasure in distresses. Remember when he was shipwrecked in the Mediterranean Sea? And before the shipwreck, he told those aboard, he said, "We're going to be okay. We're going to lose the ship. It's going to sink. But we're going to be okay. The Lord's revealed to me that we're all going to make it through this." I take pleasure for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I have a problem, when things are not the way that I would like for them to be, I can let God be seen in that situation. I can let others see that the situation is not what drives me. What drives me, what motivates me, what I live for is to live to the glory of God, and I'm going to do that. This is not going to hold me back. The faith overcomes tribulation. In John 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation." All forms of tribulation. Like Paul outlined there from 2 Corinthians. "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." What is he saying there? He's saying, because I have overcome the world, you can overcome the world. He, the Word of God made flesh, overcame the world by doing the will of God. He says, you can do the same. Whatever comes, whatever tribulation it may be. Acts 14 and verse 22, it says that they were strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." Where did they get that? Why would they tell the Christians of the first century to continue to be strong and continue in the faith, "For we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God"? Well, they got that from Jesus. "In the world you will have tribulations." You will overcome if you just keep the faith, continue in the faith. Romans 8 and verses 31 through 39. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, will he not freely give us all things? He gave us his own son. Anything we have need of, he'll give us. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Not that there wasn't anybody who was bringing charges against God's elect. There certainly were. They brought charges against the very one who was elect, Jesus Christ. But so what? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Not that there's not anyone who doesn't condemn. There were and there are many who condemns God and condemns Jesus and condemns Christians. A lot of the things that you see happening in our current events are the result of people hating God and hating Christianity. It is Christ who died, who furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Don't forget who died for you. They might want to silence you speaking words of righteousness and God's morality, but don't forget Don't forget Christ who died for you and makes intercession for you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long and are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Stay in Him, and you will conquer. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. What are the principalities and powers? That's government. Were Christians of the first century facing tribulation because of the Roman Empire and the government? And shake your heads this way. Yes, they were. And it would get even worse after Romans was written. Such an encouraging letter. Remain faithful. Principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come. You think it's bad now? It can get worse. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Faith. Practicing the faith will give us the victory. Revelation 7 and verses 13 through 14, John said, one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these who are arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of great tribulation. Come out of great tribulation. So what the book of Revelation was all about was the tribulation that Christians were experiencing at the hands of the Roman Empire. These are those who come out of this great tribulation and have washed their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Faith is the victory. Have your robes been made white in the blood of the Lamb? In the waters of baptism? In obedience to His word? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Revelation 7 and verse 17, it says, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them. He will lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Are they in tears now? Are they in tribulation now? Are they praying to God and presenting their concerns before God? Yes. Things are not as they would like for them to be, and things are not as God would like for them to be, but they will be. Because faith, faithfulness, is the victory. Faith is the victory. Do you know His word? Do you know His will? Are you doing it? Are you convicted by His word? You know that you have practiced sin, and in the practice of that sin, you've been separated from God. But God has called you into fellowship with Him in obedience to the gospel of Christ. He said, if you believe that I am He, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sin. Well, I believe that He is the Son of God. James says, that's good. The devils also believe and tremble. Belief has to be combined with trust and obedience. So Jesus said, except you repent, unless you turn around, you will perish Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. In Matthew chapter 10, he said, "Whosoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven." Are you ready to make that confession today? That you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of mankind, and you're ready to abandon the paths of sin to walk in the way of righteousness from this day forward. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." Mark 16 and verse 16. Are you ready to do that? If you're here today and you're a child of God, but out of favor with Him because you've gone back to the desires of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, you need to return to Him. You need to make things right with Him and establish that fellowship with Him again. James says, "Confess your faults one unto another. Pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Whatever your need may be, would you please let it be known as we stand and sing this song?